Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And we're going to be talking about our souls. We all have them. And we treasure them. And we'd like to know more about them. So to understand this, there's a wonderful book called The Angelic Origins of the Soul, written by our favorite Tricia McCannon. Tricia, welcome to Energy Stew.
Oh, Peter, it is always such a pleasure and honor to be with you and our wonderful audience and guest. And I always love our conversations because they're deep and they're stimulating and they make you think.
Well, let's go deep.
Okay.
So one thing that is in your book that really I think is important for everybody to understand is soul development. Where are we at in our soul progress? And many of us are in different places in large groups of the population. And we don't, if we understand it better, we can appreciate why we might be tormented by different soul behaviors in people.
That's well said, actually. I think it gives us a yardstick for looking at how the soul progresses and how certain people are certain ways and certain other people are other ways. And, you know, rather than just going, oh my God, you know, I hate them or whatever, it's like, oh, this is where they are in their spiritual evolution. And so it allows us to have more patience and more tolerance and more forgiveness sometimes.
Well, what we're learning is that there are so many people out there, and we see it more in politics probably than anywhere else, but we can see it in any place where power is being played. Could be corporate, could be religious, even sports, where people are not as soul developed as we think they are because they're so powerful. And we think, well, if you're that powerful, your soul must be very advanced to know, be smart enough to gain such power.
Right. Well, as you know, in my book, I talk about the six stages of soul evolution. And if you'd like, I can kind of briefly go over
them. Sure.
Okay. So we begin, beginner souls, basically. And I love beginner souls because they've come from the higher worlds, the heavenly kingdoms more recently. They're very pure. They're usually
innocent.
Innocent, exactly. But the challenge for them is they don't recognize evil, so they can be duped or manipulated. They you know, attribute to others the same beautiful, pure-heartedness that they themselves have. And, as we know, this is a world that's got a lot of varieties and shades of gray. And they're, like I said, they're wonderful and creative, but they can be mowed down. So they really need, in my opinion, an advanced or a master soul to be their parent. And if they're given a safe environment, then they can really flourish with their purity of heart and sweetness of spirit and creativity. Then they're young souls. The young souls are souls that have figured out, oh my God, this is a, you know, completely unexpected place. We don't know what to expect at any point. There's lions and tigers and bears and things coming out of the woodwork, and I could get eaten at any point. This is a scary place. So I'm going to make rules and regulations, and I'm going to build walls and enclosures, and we're going to have curfews. So these are our fundamentalists in every religion of the world, not just Christianity, but also the Muslim religions and the, you know, the Jewish tradition, every tradition, basically.
Right.
If you're a fundamentalist, more than likely you kind of fall here.
And these are people who feel safest in tribal environments.
Yes. And, you know, these are good people, but they're more limited. They're more narrow because they don't have the soul experience. And so they figure to stick with the tribe, they won't get eaten by the lion or the tiger.
Exactly.
Okay. And so unfortunately what happens is, they will be friends with you as long as you obey all the rules, but advanced souls and master souls, as we will see, tend to come and go from the enclosure. They want to go make friends with the lions and tigers and bears, you know, maybe go into telepathic communication with them. And so this of course makes the fundamentalists very nervous. So they tend to vote you off the island, okay, or go into judgment. And they're actually going into judgment against a more evolved soul than they are, but of course they don't know it because fear is what's running their ship.
Very good, yeah.
Then there are intermediate souls. Now these souls are, they figured out there's a game going on down here. We can call it survivor. We can call it winners and losers. And they want to be a winner no matter what they have to do to be a winner. So they are about power. And so they can be petty criminals, or they can be rich, powerful, charismatic politicians or leaders of organizations. They're going for money. They're going for power. And, you know, if they might protect their family or their cohorts that keep their business positions in place. But by and large, it's like if it's between you and them, they're going to pick themselves and screw you over every time. So they're creating lots of karma, basically.
They feed off of tribal mentality. They feed off of fear. And so you see them all really always telling us who the enemy is, and we should be afraid of the enemy, no matter where they find an enemy.
Exactly. That is so true.
In people or in things, it's something that the tribe has to go to war about.
They're actually using the fear of the younger souls and other intermediate souls to consolidate their power base. So they are, you know, Hitler, a perfect example, okay? A masterful intermediate soul, charismatic, but he picked out enemies, and these guys are the enemies, let's go after them. These guys are the enemies, let's go after them. So anyone who does this divisive name calling, you know, whether it's towards women, to blacks, to Jews, to Muslims, to Christians, to any group, this is the device that an intermediate soul is using to say, it's us and them, let's go after them.
And yet we expect to see compassion in them, and there is none.
Right. Many times they're narcissistic. They can be charming, okay, and manipulative, but they are essentially, they have a huge narcissism.
And we think that they are more godly because they're more powerful and can manipulate so powerfully.
Yes, and it's a shame, because unfortunately a lot of people capitulate and give their power to them, because and they thrive on power. That is the big thing that they're going for. More money. I mean, how much money can we spend in a lifetime? Okay, really. You know, you got how many millions or billions? It really and truly, why have more? You can't take it with you.
Well, because money is power.
Yes, exactly. They're all about power. So then you have advanced souls. Advanced souls start about 5.5 billion, go to about 7 billion years in their age. In the beginning, you know, these souls are more about win-win dynamics. They figured out that the consequences of this win-lose thing ultimately comes back and bites them in the rear end. So they're trying to make wiser choices. Yes, they want to win, but they want others to win too. And many times these souls tend to marry, have children, and, you know, fit into society and so forth. They're certainly not perfect, but they're working towards the light, basically, and towards a more embracing consciousness.
I'd like to think of that as collective thinking.
Yes.
And those are people who have compassion.
Yes, exactly. And as they get older, around 6.25 billion years.
I don't, you know, the billions, to me, is hard to comprehend, right? Because when we're on the other side, other aspects of dimensionality, time really isn't linear like this.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It's very hard to understand that. For me personally, I like to think in what my brain can comprehend.
Yeah, you know, as you know, I've done soul readings for people for over 30 years. And as you know, I've gone for many years. The first 4 years, I only went back 3, 4, 5 thousand years into people's soul histories, and then it made a leap to where I was going back much further. This is over 30 years ago, and I found myself not only tracking earlier ages like Atlantis and Lemuria, but then eventually tracking them into other planetary systems, and then eventually moving up through the dimensions.
And I do that too in my classes when I do past lives, and you know, where do we come from? Very often I go into other planets, other galaxies, and sometimes another universe.
Yes. And the work you do, I love your human design work too. I think it's very brilliant. You know, when I've come to stay with you in New York and you've done mine, it was just spot on. So, So with advanced souls around, you know, let's say halfway through that cycle, they become very interested in humanitarian things. So these are the people trying to save the dolphins and the whales and, you know, make it so that our parks aren't destroyed by uranium mining like the current administration wants to do, or they're trying to, you know, help the rivers and help get the children out of sexual slavery. And they're actually interested and concerned about, as you say, collective consciousness, the whole, not just service to self. It's like, okay, I can take less if it allows others to also have more. Right. And that's yummy. And then we have master souls. Master souls, about half of them never marry, simply because they are here for a mission. And unless they can find a mate that supports that mission, then it doesn't happen. Now, you're lucky you found a great mate who is totally a very high consciousness woman like yourself, or man. And right. So you guys really work well.
Very fortunate.
You both are very fortunate. She's fortunate to have you and vice versa. But a lot of times, you know, if we try to do the classic thing, grow up, get married, have children, it pulls us out of our mission unless we happen to be lucky enough to actually have a mate that's on the same wavelength and really is supportive rather than distractive. And then there are the bodhisattva souls. The bodhisattvas are the great avatars. They really have become, they've been down here many times. They've become spiritually enlightened. They really don't even need to reincarnate down here. They've chosen to purely out of compassion. And of course, the bodhisattva vow is, you know, trying to return to help our brothers and sisters awaken into the light rather than going on into the higher realms and you know, just simply working on their own development. And many, many of the great avatars we've had are under those bodhisattva vows. So
it's fascinating to know all of this, because we really need to have more appreciation for the soul plight and, you know, where we fit in or not and what that means, you know. And right now we understand that we're coming into a time of expanded consciousness, and we don't quite know how that will, what repercussions that will have on, for instance, intermediate souls or any level of soul. Maybe the younger souls, especially the more purely tribal souls, might not be able to move out of their fear enough. But I do think that fear is going to shrink a bit. In general, on this planet. And if we're not as fearful, then there's all kinds of opportunity to open up new worlds.
I think, you know, part of what I felt like was happening in the 90s during Clinton and during Obama is we began to work to meet in a cooperative way in the world. In other words, one of the ways that nations have made money through the centuries has been to say, hey, we're low on our own resources. Look, that country's got resources. Let's pick a fight, have a war, go over and get their resources. And this, you've seen this over and over again. And then suddenly the imposing country brings new wealth and resources in. And that was the competitive model. And the model I think we've been trying to work on for the last 20 years or more has been a cooperative model that says, you know what, we can all prosper through cooperation instead of competition, the win-lose dynamic, let's have a win-win. And I love that. And of course, part of that's happened because of the internet, cyber technology. And if you look at it, I mean, the EU coming together, the Paris Accord, I mean, really, we had made huge strides until sort of the last, you know, year or so, where there's been that intermediate soul consciousness that's re-entered our political American landscape. And, you know, whether you like Trump or you don't, there are certain things that, from my point of view, really yell intermediate soul: divisiveness, sexism, racism, I mean, and, you know, abuse, abusing spouses. This is, of course, all coming out now. Abusing women, abusing anybody, abusing your dog, your cat. I mean, why do we have to abuse?
Well, when you don't have compassion, you don't know the language of caring. And so you only maybe use, you know, fake caring to influence people. And then,
and we can say that about the planet as well. I mean, you know, this is the only inhabitable planet right now that we have to inhabit. You know, we can talk about terraforming Mars all day long, but imagine how much work that is when, you know, whatever water's in there is deep inside the planet.
We're here now anyway. So
we're here now.
And we're dealing with this opportunity. And I think one of the reasons why these intermediate forces are so dominant now. It's amazing how in government they attract each other. They know each other's language.
Oh my God, absolutely. I mean, it's frightening when you actually look around at the people within the current administration that are, you know, the really the neo-Nazis, the white supremacists. It's exactly what you're saying.
They all speak the same language. And they know it. You know, they're attracted to it. It's like magnets to each other.
Yeah, and they should protect each other. I mean, yes. General Flynn, I was just watching the news last night. Who, of course, we've all been so excited because it seemed like there was a real responsible adult in the room. You know, he was like supporting the guy that they've just discovered he has charges against him for abusing two of his best wives. And so, you know, and again, I'm sure that guy has many good qualities. It doesn't mean when you're an intermediate soul that you don't have intelligence or capability or any of that. It just means that your priorities are about winning at any cost.
Well, I know people who are advanced healers, very, very brilliant people in the holistic marketplace who have been extremely mean to a lot of people and have harmed a lot of people in many ugly ways. And you go, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. This person is a being of light. And then it turns out that they're a being of flame. And
or a being of deception. And, you know, charisma is one thing, but really walking in integrity. And of course, the truth is that all of us work every day of our life to try to be better people. I mean, you know, you can have a good person who still makes a mistake. They tell a little white lie and it gets out of hand.
No, but we're talking about a trend in a personality to be harmful to people on a regular basis.
Yes, yes. And you do see it in religions too. I mean, politics is, of course, what's on the scene right now. But, you know, we look around and we see people who, you know, did the shame of everyone else, you know, for having affairs. And then we discover they've been having affairs for years. Or shame on the homosexuals, then we discover they were a homosexual. So, I mean, it's like the disowned shadow part. You know, they figured out that people rallied around that cause. And so, you know, they had a secret hidden life. And finally, when the hidden life came out, the bubble burst.
But they were willing to harm people who were even like them. And so that's why we have to understand that these are people who can't have, they don't figure out the win-win. They don't figure out collective understandings that we, many of us live by. And oh my God, never expected that from these people.
And the thing is that, I mean, you can't just say all people who do terrible things are intermediate souls. I think, for example, in the priesthood, I think that when the Catholic Church, for a long time, priests could get married and have families and children, which was a natural proclivity for humans that want warmth and intimacy and closeness, not to mention the testosterone of the sexual drive. But then what happened is, of course, the church at some point figured out that when they died, they left their families their property. And the church was trying to amass money and property at that time. And so they made it so that priests had to be celibate. So, of course, they actually have created through that centuries of that repression, and that fury and that anger, that aggression that we think of around testosterone, came out in the priesthood through the Inquisition. Let's kill women. Let's, you know, torture women. Let's rape women because they're, you know, not unholy. Because actually, in their shadow part, they desired those women. And so now, of course, in our age, we have priests who probably got into the ministry in a wonderful way for good reasons, but then after years of
celibacy
and not having any warmth or intimacy, their testosterone got the best of them. And of course, they ruined lives because of that.
Right. That's a good explanation. Thank you. So I also wanted to talk about, you know, who we are in knowing ourselves, you know, our ego, our minds versus our soul. Because obviously what we're talking about on the soul level is a major program of what we're doing here.
Of learning.
Yeah, but it's a major program of our soul journey, what level of soul understanding we have. So we're operating through that, and we can't help that. It's just the nature of our soul. But on top of that, our egos, our minds, are trying to figure it all out.
Yes, I think that understanding that scale, and I talk about it at great length, you know, in, you know, my new book. This is my fourth book, The Angelic Origins of the Soul, Discovering Your Divine Purpose. And the reason we subtitle it this is because it's really about the course curriculum that we're on. And the quicker we can learn the course curriculum, the less suffering we have and the further we advance.
Right. And that's why this program is important, because now, you know, granted we suffer, for instance, through the manipulation of intermediate souls, but to know the nature of who they are versus who we are allows us to, you know, roll our eyes and go, okay, what do I do next?
Yes, I mean, I'm here in the South. I'm in Atlanta, and I grew up, my dad was Baptist, my mom was Methodist, and we became Episcopalian. And of course, there are many fabulous, wonderful people in the church, but I experienced in the Baptist church, which was the biggest one in town, all this hypocrisy and backstabbing. And it's like, what? We're in a Christian church. What the heck is going on? And I'm sure there's some good Baptist places, but that, you know, I saw this as a child. And so I questioned, how could these people who were less evolved judge these people who were actually more evolved? It didn't make any sense to me.
Fear. It's all of that tribal manipulation that creates fear. And then everybody's on a survival mechanism to look out for themselves.
And well, you have that actually, if we look at it in terms of, you know, let's say white people, there are many wonderful white people. We happen to be two of them and probably lots of our listeners, but there is a section of the white people that are scared of Mexicans, scared of black people, scared of Chinese, scared of anybody, you know, it's like anybody that looks different from them. And of course they don't have the higher perspective to realize that over the course of our many incarnations, we may come in as black, white, pink, polka dot.
No, you know, but they're not evolved. Their soul journey, they're still at that beginner stage or
us and them
stage.
Yeah, it's the young soul. It's the us okay. And them. Right. They don't look like me. They don't have the same color eyes or the same color hair. So there must be, you know, something wrong with them.
Right.
I mean, heavens help us when we get around to extraterrestrial contact, then we're all going to look like we belong to the same family because, you know, right. It's like, oh, you know, you have, you know, three fingers or six fingers or whatever it is, you know, so we really kind of have to get over some of that. And I think we've made progress. I think that the internet and radio shows and TV shows, you know, we're normalizing some of this behavior. And, you know, also the homosexual situation, for heaven's sakes. I mean, many of the people who beat up homosexuals were actually themselves, I think, afraid that they might have some of those tendencies. And so as they suppressed that in themselves, if they saw someone they could, you know, tar and feather, they went after them. And, you know, we're trying our best, I think, in our societies to move forward to say, you know what, there is a valuable, worthy soul inside of each and every one of us.
Well, those of us who have been around the block soul-wise, you know, many lifetimes, have learned from our earlier experiences of being young souls and perhaps intermediate souls. And here we are, you know, perhaps knowing better, but we have our shadows and our own struggles based on what we know, and we're here on the human plane bumping around, and that's what we come here for, to learn more, to become wiser, and to help grow the light of our society and the universe. So I think this show has been very important in understanding the nature of soul. I want to do a future show with you about who we are as souls on the other side too.
I would love that. I talk about the angelic twin, and that's a really,
yes,
really
cool. And we talked about that in the last show too.
And the course curriculum for the soul, which is mastering the right balance between love and power. You know, we're not meant to just be carpets, you know, with no power, and we're not meant to be tyrants.
Right.
We have to find a balance between.
We have to make the most of it.
Yeah.
Tell us, we only have a couple minutes left. Tell us how you're making the most of it. What programs are you offering?
Right. Well, you know, people can go to my website, TricianCannonSpeaks.com. I've had a mystery school for over 12 years, and I finally got 12 of those classes up online, so you can actually, you know, study if you're interested. That's wonderful. These are some of the main.
Well, you're showing that on the video.
Yeah, that's
right. People can see the video on YouTube. But the radio show itself, people can't see that.
Yeah, so you'll see on Tricia McKenna Speaks, you'll see a bar that says Mystery Schools, and there's online classes. You can check it out. As you may know, I launched a really wonderful class with Sacred U University in December around the Lost Years of Jesus and the Secret Schools of Initiation. They only offered it for 30 days. They'll probably reissue it in June. So if you sign up for my newsletter, I'll let you know when that comes out. And then in mid-March, March 12th, we're launching a new class on Mary Magdalene, the Divine Sophia, the hidden history really of the planet, where the divine God was honored as both the divine mother and eventually divine mother and father before it became, you know, slipped into the patriarchy. I'm also the first week of April in Atlanta. William Henry and I are doing a Lost Civilizations workshop weekend. That should be amazing. That's not even on my website yet. The second weekend in April, I'm at the Eureka Springs UFO Conference in Arkansas. And then the first weekend in May, I'm in Denver and Boulder, Colorado with the Lost Civilizations Tour.
You really get around. It's amazing the depth of knowledge that you carry. And, you know, so much research has gone into all of your big fat books because they're all hundreds and hundreds of pages. And so you're an amazing resource.
Thank you so much, Peter. It's always a pleasure to be with you. I feel the same about you. And, you know, you hold it all in your head as well. And it's one of the reasons I think we have a mutual admiration society.
Thank you, Tricia. I'm honored to hear that. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks so much for listening. Mm-hmm.